with our special guest, Elissa El Chokachi, her work, Miraculous Moments, and we'll be back with some more of her stories and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Elissa, before we go to the calls, tell me your reason for, you know, you're a hospice nurse, you're very busy, you wrote this great book, Miraculous Moments, you didn't have to. Why'd you decide to share these stories?
Well, because for several reasons. You know, I really feel it's important for people to realize that there's lots of different ways that our loved ones can communicate with us. You know, we often see them in dreams or visions. Maybe we might have a sense of presence. You know, like we talked about, maybe there is a smell. We might get a hug, a touch, a sign, you know, a sound. Lots of different ways that they can communicate with us. So one of the reasons is to educate people about different ways loved ones can reach out. Number two is to really validate the experience for people. Lots of people have experiences. They're not sure if they're real. They don't even, you know, want to tell anybody because they don't want them to think they're crazy. But in this book, we have 88 stories by 73 contributors who are all coming together to say, yes, this is real. And there are lots of ways that affirm that life goes on. So it validates, it will also give people permission, you know, to talk about it in ways that they would never have talked about it. So I hope that we're going to give a lot of people hope that life goes on and that, you know, physical death is not the end, but certainly just, you know, a transition into the next beautiful place we're going.
Very shortly on our website, we'll have what we call InstaPoll capabilities, where while we're on the air, Elissa, we can ask a question to our listeners if they believe in life after death, for example,
Ooh.
And get instantaneous results from millions of people who decide to participate. And what a great research tool that would be.
That would be fabulous.
And, you know, in my guess, without even having a scientific poll here at hand, yeah. is that the majority of the folks believe in life after death. I would think that. How about you?
Yeah, I would say yes. And it'd also be like to know how many people have actually had an experience themselves, some sort of experience. Or know someone that has.
That's right. Let's go to the phones. Maybe we'll find that out now.
Mm-hmm.
First-time caller in El Paso, Texas. Jay, welcome to Coast to Coast. Jay, you're on with us.
Thank you, George. Great listening to your program. Listen, I've had several experiences in that area. The sensibilities, all my life, I thought that my grandfather and my godfather were with me, watching over me. And that was because of the fact that my granddaddy and my godfather both smoked roll your own Prince Albert, and that there was a distinct odor, and I could smell that. And one day, I moved to California, and I had emptied the trash cans, and I usually washed them upside down. Well, I came back after washing the cans and all that, and I turned it upside down. I went back to put some trash in them. And lo and behold, there was a little Prince Albert remain, okay? And I'm saying, good Lord, my grandfather has been here. Now, that, and I've sensed this all my life, okay? Now, I was admitted to Long Beach Memorial Hospital with leukemia. I had been working for the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office for many years, and I was aware of the procedures as they bring the bodies out of the hospital. And as I was walking in, they were rolling out the gurney with the body, and I says, I'm walking in, and that's how they're going to take me out, because at that time, leukemia was a death sentence. I was in hospital for 30 days. During the time that I was in the hospital, I was going through experimental medicine, and the very first night that they administered this medication, I died. George, I can tell you, you don't mind if I call you George, do you?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay, now, when I realized where I was in a vortex. The colors were so brilliant. I could sense that I was going straight into hell. My body was spinning. It was spinning and tumbling and all that, and I was in excruciating pain. And as I'm falling, I could see the flames of hell, the red was so magnificent. The thunder, the lightning, the colors, everything was so, I can't explain it. But anyway, this lasted, I don't know how long. Maybe it was seconds, or it could have been all night long. When I came out of it, I knew I had died, and I was screaming for all the saints that I had ever known, please take me, I cannot handle this pain. Fortunately for me, that was not to be. And I woke up.
Aren't you glad, Jay, you came back? Yeah.
But it didn't stop there, okay? It didn't stop there. Now, when I returned back, I was soaking wet. My shaking was so violent that the hospital bed had moved about 5 feet from its present, from its original location. Okay? Now, I didn't have any more occurrences after that. I had excruciating pain and all that, but never again would I witness that. And it took me many years for me to be able to talk about this without breaking down. Now, one day, as I'm sitting there, my doctor walked in, and what he said, that, Jay, you have been given a reprieve. We feel that we have cured you. Now, at the foot of my bed was an entity. And again, I can't tell you who it was. I would like to think that it was our Heavenly Father, but I can't say that for sure, because all I have seen is pictures, and he resembled those pictures. He was wearing a white tunic. The white was so brilliant that it would hurt your eyes. He had long hair, white hair. He had crossed his arms. And as the doctors pronouncing my wellness, this entity was shaking his head with a big smile like he was agreeing with the doctor.
I love it. Now, Jay, let's find out from Alyssa if she's had similar reports of this apparition, this figure. Have you, Alyssa? This being, this with the white hair?
We all think we know who it is. People describe the being differently. So, you know, it's an individual thing. Definitely someone of authority, all-knowing, all-powerful type of thing. But again, every single experience, you'll have no two people who have the identical experience. You just need to know that.
You know, this death experience that so many people go through is probably more common than we know, isn't it?
You mean having a near-death experience?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, according to one study done by Bill and Judy Guggenheim, who were the first really pioneers to look into after-death communication, they said that they feel that 5% of the population have actually had a near-death experience.
All right, we go to Joyce now, west of the Rockies in Chino, California. Hi, Joyce, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, George, I really enjoy your show.
Well,
secondly,
thanks.
I want to commend Alyssa. I think she is an angel on earth. The people who work in hospice are the best. I had two family members, my dad and my brother, who were in hospice, and it was the most calming death I'd ever seen. When my dad passed, he just before he died, he was actually having a conversation with his sister, who had passed about 12 years before him, and she was a nurse in the Army. So she kind of knew, you know, that what was going on, and she was there to bring him home.
How beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then when my brother passed, my family had always been bird watchers, and we really enjoyed watching the red-tailed hawks and so on and so forth. So when my brother died, and my dad and my brother were buried next to each other, and it was like a three-month span between their deaths. And on the little, you know, those little pamphlets you get saying when they were born and dead and so on and so forth, well, we put a red-tailed hawk on that. And the morning of the funeral, we watched in the sky as two red-tailed hawks just circled and circled and circled. And my sister-in-law had hired somebody to release doves. Well, you know, we were all like, oh, my gosh, you know, there's hawks in the sky, and they're going to release doves. And it was, but the hawks didn't, they didn't look. It was just so amazing. I think it was my brother's and my dad's spirits in the hawks, or, you know, the, at least maybe not their spirits, but the way I felt was like they're watching. And it was just the most amazing things. And then when those doves came back and roosted where they were supposed to be, they were all there. They were all fine. And it was just such an amazing event that every time I see a hawk, it's like, ah, hi, Dad, you know. I loved it. and again, this hospice idea is the best thing ever. I mean, my dad got to die at home. My brother got to die at home. We were all there, you know, and they knew we were there. We took care of them 24/7 until we had to call in a hospice nurse to administer medications and whatnot. But it was, like, so perfect.
They are great people, Joyce. They really are. And Alyssa, tell me about the duties of a hospice person. What do you do?
Well, you know, basically, we really educate the family members, like this wonderful caller, how to care for their loved ones. So we go in and we'll, you know, make regular visits to see, you know, what's happening, you know, pain, breathing, all kinds of things. Lots of things we check on, make sure they're comfortable, and then take the appropriate interventions and make them happen. You know, our focus is improving the quality of the time that they have. And it's really, you know, palliative medicine. It's like we're treating symptoms. We want to take care of the symptoms and help them, you know, have as much wonderful time with their family and loved ones as possible. And God bless all those caregivers like this caller who take that huge, huge step to care for their loved ones at home. Many times they've never seen anybody that ill or anyone die, and it takes a lot of courage, but a lot of love, and there is nothing greater in the world than the gift that you just gave your loved one when you do that.
Well, listen, was it difficult for a scientifically trained nurse to get involved in what I would call spirituality?
Well, actually, no, because I found the perfect job, and it was hospice, because hospice does embrace not only, you know, that scientific side, but the spiritual side. You know, we deal with the physical, the emotional, mental, and spiritual. And so it's part of my job to actually ask about where someone is at, if they are having a hard time, what is their spiritual orientation or faith, or, you know, might they believe in, you know, something beyond a death, you know, life after death.
Let's go to St. Louis. David's there on Coast to Coast. David, it hasn't stopped raining since I've been here.
Oh. I'm sorry.
It just doesn't stop, but go ahead.
Yeah, that is true. I noticed that. I've always believed in God, and but sometimes, you know, my faith wavers. But last year, about 11 months ago, my mother passed away, and she didn't want to be buried in St. Louis. She wanted to be buried in southern Missouri, where she was born. So we buried her in Wilderness, which is a Mark Twain National Forest. And the day of her funeral, I'll never forget this, and it's probably one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me in my life, oddly enough. I was at the graveyard, and it was a very small ceremony, only about 8 or 10 relatives. And I was waiting for my friend to come down from St. Louis, and he was running late. So I wanted to have that moment to myself and be in the moment and experience the moment. Even though my mother just passed away, I just wanted to experience the moment viscerally, I guess you'd say. Sure. And I was standing apart from the rest of the people that were gathered around the gravesite, and I was standing by my car, and it was a beautiful day, and there's an old 120-year-old church there, and it was just a really small cemetery in the middle of nowhere. And I stood there, and this butterfly came down and circled around me. It was a blue butterfly, and it circled around me for maybe like a minute right in front of me. And I didn't think too much of it at that time. And there's I walked over towards the gravesite, and the pastor was getting ready to deliver a eulogy, and I whispered to my sister, and I said, "Something beautiful just happened to me." And then I said, "I'll tell you after this the ceremony's over." So I told her what happened, and she's like, "Well, why isn't anything beautiful like that ever happen to me? Why does anything special like that ever happen to me?" And I said, "I don't know." And so the next day we were preparing to leave, and we stayed in these cabins that were built by the Civilian Conservation Corps during World War II down in Big Spring, which is the largest natural spring, I think, in North America. It's just gorgeous down there. And we were leaving the cabin, and I turned to my sister, and she has this look of awe and wonderment on her face. I didn't know what it was. So I turn around. This butterfly had come down and landed on her right shoulder.
Aww.
And then it gets more amazing than that. The butterfly then, I mean, I have photos of this. It's amazing. Then the butterfly hops, lands on her head, goes on her other shoulder, climbs down her arm, and goes in the tip of her fingers. And then I was like, what is going on here? Like, this, she could walk a mile down the street with this butterfly. This butterfly didn't want to leave.
That's great.
So she then kisses the butterfly on his wings. And I've never seen anything like it. So I'm kissing a butterfly on his wings. And then the butterfly flies up maybe 8-10 feet in the air, and it does the same thing to me. It lands on my shoulder. It goes on the top of my head. It goes on my other shoulder, goes down my arm, goes to my fingers. I've never kissed a butterfly in my life. And my sister looks at me, and she says, "Yeah, kiss it." I said, "Okay." So then I kiss the butterfly's wings. And then one more amazing thing happened. God's honest truth, Scout's honor. I was a Boy Scout, Cub Scout. The butterfly flies up, lands on my other sister, my oldest sister, Cynthia, lands on her shoulder, goes on her head, goes on her fingers. She kisses. This like sounds like a bad joke or something. It's true. Like, I'm going to have a punchline.
I've kissed a frog before, David. Never a butterfly. Huh?
Then she kisses the butterfly's wing as well. And then the butterfly, and we took photos of it each time we were kissing the wing of the butterfly. And then the butterfly flies up again, circles above us for maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds, and flies away. And then we got in our car, and then we left and drove back to St. Louis. It was like we were leaving right then, so it was like her saying goodbye to us.
What a great, surreal moment. David, you've got to send us a picture of that. Send it to Lex@coasttocoastam.com, and we'll be back with final phone calls with Alyssa in just a moment, and then open lines start next hour. StreamLink, it's available to you for just pennies a day, soon to be called the Coast Insider. Take advantage of it, where you get iPods and downloads and past archives and all this other stuff, and then soon you'll be able to get your Droid, your Android, phone connection there. I don't even know. I've got too many phones. You get your Android app and your BlackBerry app as well. I was looking at the Droid X today, by the way, that Motorola puts out. It's a pretty neat device. But those phones, though, they're getting bigger again as they put more and more things on it. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Alyssa, will you be working on another Miraculous Moments book? Is there another?
Yes, there's actually A Miraculous Moments for Bereaved Parents is what I'm working on right now. I'm still collecting stories. So anyone either that has lost a child and had an experience or knows a child and had an experience that would give hope to these bereaved parents, I would love to hear from them. They can go to my website, miraculousmoments.com, and submit stories.
Absolutely. And you know, that is very important, I think, to be able to do that for parents too. And I gotta commend you for that. That is something. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Ken in Knoxville, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Hey, Ken, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Alyssa.
Good morning.
I have a question. I was wondering, my wife and I are both good Christians, and we've decided that we were going to be cremated instead of buried. And does your soul still go to heaven if you're cremated?
I think God's going to welcome you. It's how you live your life that matters. It's not how you're letting go of the physical body. There are many, many cultures that use cremation as their choice. And they actually look at it as a purification of the physical body, ending all that was. So I believe God's going to welcome you.
Well, I appreciate it.
By the way, I'm choosing cremation for myself, so I'll be where you are.
Okay. George, I have a question for you.
Sure, Kenny.
I've tried to email you, George. I talked to you about my wife, who was not very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember or not, but yeah. Jonathan and you were on at the time.
Yes.
And I tried to email you twice, and it don't go through.
Well, now, what are you using?
George at coasttocoast.com.
No. It's got to be coasttocoastam.com.
Oh, yeah. I mean, George, coasttocoastam.com.
Yeah, it should go through. I get 1,500 a day.
Yeah, I tried it twice and it wouldn't go through.
Yeah, George at, G-E-O-R-G-E, George at coasttocoast. You got to put the two in there, too. A lot of people forget the extra T. coasttocoastam.com.
Uh-huh.
Give it another try and just kind of flag
it.
Yeah,
I even emailed Art to see if he could get a hold of you, and I never got a return message from him either.
That's. I'm going to guess you've got something wrong with your email, folks, but you sent it from a friend's computer.
Yeah, at the time that I talked to you, I'm a security officer, and, of course, I'm driving. I secure parking lots at major retail stores.
Right. Right.
And you mentioned that we should get in touch with two other people. And I did. I couldn't write down what you were saying at the time. And that's why I emailed you to see if I could get the answers back.
Okay, well, do this, Ken, if you would. Send it from somebody else's computer. I suspect there's something wrong with your email or your computer or something. Because, believe me, we're getting emails. Lots of them. Okay? And we'll take a few more. Fast blast in from Randy at the Nighthawk Zone, and this is for you, Alyssa. He said that a friend said the night before death that his grandmother said that she is taking her home. Years later, my mom had the same friend come to her and before her death and said that she is here to take her home. That was in 1985. It's a true story. Who are these people that come and help other people in the afterlife?
Well, they could be angels that are coming, could be guardian angels. They could be very much their loved ones that are coming. And maybe that was a grandmother or, you know, a family member that is there. But we are definitely welcomed. We do not transition alone. There is always somebody there to welcome us. And then I do believe we go on and see a higher being. But we are welcomed by loved ones initially.
All right, back to the call, Santa Fe, Texas. It's Pat's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to tell you that when my dad passed away, I used to sit at the foot of his bed for years and talk to him about death, and he didn't believe in ghosts. You know, he didn't believe. He said, God said, you don't come back. Mm-hmm. You don't enter your home anymore. And so I used to tell him, you know, Dad, when you pass, will you please, if you can come back, will you come back? And he said, I will. Will you let me know? I will. Well, when my dad passed, I put a red carnation on his lapel. 2 weeks after he passed, my brother and I and his friend were sitting in the living room, and Louis said, Pat, do you smell that? I said, Louis, don't even start that stuff, because he knows how I feel about that stuff. And about that time, the smell of that carnation hit my nose. And I followed that smell into my mother's room and into the bedrooms where my children were sleeping. And that was strange. And then when my husband passed away, he... 2 weeks before his daughter had her baby, I know it was him, because he took a plaque down with a, it had a boot and a cactus on it, and she lives in Arizona. And it was laying on the floor, and there's no way it could have fallen. No way. And
it's a sign. Pardon? It's a message, huh, Pat?
Pardon?
It's a message.
Yes, most definitely. And her baby had a genetic disease, and she died 2 weeks, 14 days after she was born. But when my mother passed away, she passed away the 28th of February in 99. And she kept saying, I see these big birds, these big white birds. They got huge white wings. And saying, that train is just shaking me to death. Well, she died the 28th of February in 99. My husband passed away February the 17th in 2000.
All right. Thanks for sharing that with us, Pat.
Thank you. These stories
happen, and they're all the time. Is there like a department up there where they just say, all right, now it's your turn to go help that one. You go help that one. I mean, how are these things assigned and divvied out?
I wish I knew. I know there's one story in the book. It talks about it's told by a woman who lost her husband, and she wakes up, and there's this man that's sitting on her, you know, in spirit, sitting on her bed, and he's really an angel, and he says that he is the one that has been sent to tell her that her husband's okay, he's resting, but he's an angel that helps people cross over and helps them heal. So, you know, who knows exactly what's happening on the other side? Like I said, none of us really will know till we get there, but I believe we all, you know, we have lots to do over there as we do over here, and that we're growing and evolving and changing and, you know, loving one another over there. And just because we lose someone here doesn't mean that their love is going to end for us or our love has to end for them. Those love bonds continue. And I think that's a really important thing for people to know.
Sure is. Alexandria, Louisiana, we go. It's Wayne's turn at Coast to Coast. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Wayne.
Good. I'll let you know, first, I'm an avid listener of the show.
Thank you.
And Alyssa, I have a great respect for what you guys do, hospice.
Thank you.
My brother passed last Saturday, and I wanted to call. And I got a chance to talk with a hospice nurse. Her name was Liz, and she's a very, very nice young lady. But let me preface this by saying that I'm a well-grounded, scientific-minded individual. Okay, mm-hmm. I do believe in I'm a Christian. But something happened 2 nights after my brother. We buried him last Saturday. He died from cancer. Something happened 2 nights after that. My wife and I were laying in the bed. It was about 12:30. I was listening to Coast to Coast on my little headphones that I listen to every night. And my wife was about to go to sleep. And I was laying there. I had my radio on, and I heard this pop, like a pop. Not somewhat like a balloon, but it was more like you open a bottle of pop. It was very distinctive. And it felt like it was, like I kind of felt it on my lap where I had my radio laying. However, it kind of startled my wife, and she was about to go to sleep, but she stopped. She said, "Hey, Wayne, what is that? What was that?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "Did you hear it?" I said, "Yes." She said, "What was that?" I said, "I don't know." And then she scared me. She says, "Oh my God!" She says, "I was just talking to my brother's name was Billy. We called him Mr. Bill." She said, "I was just talking to Billy and saying, Billy, if you're here with us, let us know." Yes, and it kind of scared me, but you know, I don't really get scared that easily. But that kind of startled me, and it left both of us shaking our heads. I got up out of the bed later on that night, and I kind of looked around and said, "Did something fall?" Because I want to explain this. I said, "Did something fall on the floor or something?" I felt around, And we can't explain it. And she told me, you know, she had was just talking to my brother, and that happened. It really, we can't explain it. Maybe that's the only explanation for it.
I think he gave you a gift. He answered her prayer.
Absolutely. Take a few more calls here. We'll go to Nina from Willits, California. First-time caller. Good to have you with us, Nina. Go ahead.
Well, I can't believe I got through. This is so wonderful. I've had some amazing dreams. I've had a lot of people die around me. When I was like 30, my mother passed, and then like right after that, six more people passed, like in 2 months. I was just exhausted and had gotten a cold and took some NyQuil to go to bed and was in that space before you fall asleep, and I felt this presence, and I knew I wasn't awake, and it was death. And I thought, well, it's my time too. And I hear this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. It's just my job. Please forgive me. And he curtsied and disappeared.
Wow.
And it was so, and I fell asleep and I slept for 2 days.
It's my job. Please forgive me.
So I didn't mean to hurt you. Please forgive me.
Have you heard that one, Alyssa?
No, haven't heard that one.
All right. Put it in the next miracle book. Huh?
That was pretty wild. When my father passed away 10 years ago, I was dreaming. I was following him around trying to get his attention. And we ended up in this little room, and I don't know where it was. And I hear this voice, Nicky, his father, his name was Nick. It's your mother. I've come to take you home. And there was so much animosity. She was a mean old woman. I never knew her. And I immediately knew it was my grandmother. And he just became a little boy in my dream. And it was like, Mama, is that you? Huh. And there was so much love. It just, and he disappeared and he passed away the next day.
Oh
my goodness. And then when my partner, 16 years, crashed his truck 3 years ago and passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was fighting it, and he knew. We grew up in a real spiritual house, and I was really connected with all this. And I'm going, Robert, why aren't you coming to me? Talk to me, please. You know, say goodbye, whatever. I had a dream. This young man was coming towards me. I had been dreaming. I was kind of wandering around through town trying to find my way. And he goes, I'll take you to him. And I followed this young man, and all of a sudden we come out this beautiful green pasture with a clear lake, and he's sitting there reading a book, which was his favorite thing in the world to do. And I was absolutely nowhere in his consciousness. He was just, I couldn't get his attention for anything. And I just woke up, and I went and looked at pictures of the family, and it was his cousin who had passed away about 8 years before that the same way. So there's something. It's absolutely true.
There is no doubt, and this comfort level, I think, is so critical to so many people. It's there. It's there. And it's got to be comforting for you, Alyssa, to really believe this deep down.
Oh, it's wonderful. And like the experience I had with my cousin was really the foundation. It was when I was 23, but I really didn't understand the significance until I was like 36 and working as a hospice nurse, and then really needing to be able to comfort people and hold that space when they're saying, I just need to know he's okay. If I could just know, and I could say, I know because I did know. I saw my cousin totally healed, happier and more at peace than I ever knew him in this life. And it healed my grief. And that's what I try to do, is just to offer hope and give people a space, a listening ear, and validate those experiences and those hopes for them.
Time for a couple more, maybe. Let's go to Nancy in Michigan, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Nance.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I have a question about dreams. My mom passed away on June 11th. And we didn't know until about a week before she passed that she was that critically ill. But about a month before, she told me about a dream that she was having, and she said that she looked outside and everything was pastel colored, and you know, like a rainbow almost, only really pastel. And she said it was very curious. So she went outside, and there was a bunch of people standing around, and she didn't really recognize anybody, but they were just people. And she went up to one of them, and she said, "What's all these pastel colors? It's kind of pretty, but it's also kind of weird." And the guy said, "Well, don't you know what this means?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Well, it means it's the end of the world." And then she woke up. And she said, "Wasn't that a strange dream?" And as we talked about it after she passed away, we thought that it had to have been some kind of a premonition or something, that it was the end of her world, you know, or the end of her in this world.
Sure.
And so we just thought that was really strange. But she did have hospice in her last week, and they are wonderful people. And she went through the entire process of talking to loved ones and seeing my grandmother and her brother and sister who had passed before her. And she told us that she was talking to them and that they were going to help her and that it was her time to go. And she would say things like, "No, yes, okay, yeah, I can do that." I mean, it was strange, but it was comforting, too, because I know that she had a near-death experience about 4 years ago, and she said at that time that she saw my grandmother, and she told her that it wasn't her time yet. And this time it was.
That's a great story. Alyssa, if you want more folks to write you these kinds of stories, how do they get to you?
They get to me through my website, and they can write to stories@miraculousmoments.com.
All right, and the book, Miraculous Moments, available where?
It's available through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstores. If they don't have them in, they can get them in.
You got it. Thanks, Alyssa. Appreciate you being on the program. Hospice nurse who is kind of opening the door to the other side in a good way. Up next, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Get ready.